A man named Job in the Old Testament asked the question, if a man die, shall he live again? Job chapter 14 and verse 14. Many people question the afterlife. What happens after death? Where are the dead? If I die, will I live again? Godly people like Job have asked about this question. What does the Bible say? What is the Bible answer? That's what we want to talk about this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we're glad that you've joined us. Thank you for tuning in each week and following along as we learn what the Bible speaks about different matters in our life today. Where are the dead? That's the question that we want to answer this morning on the program, and we want to look at what God says, not the many man-made theories that exist today. We're interested only in divine truth. You know, a concern for the dead should be something on our mind. Many do not realize their present, how they're living now, determines their future. They procrastinate and put off like Felix did in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. They're waiting for a convenient season to obey God, and that may never come. Many people put off the day of their death because they believe it is far into the future. And they don't really concern themselves about where are the dead. That doesn't matter to them. But friends, we should be concerned about the afterlife. And so this morning, we want to consider that. With regard to those who have already died, there are two views. Some say that when you die, you cease to exist. This would be someone like the atheist or the naturalistic evolutionist who says that you do not have a soul, there is no God, there is no afterlife, there is no heaven and hell, there's no judgment day, and so you cease to exist forever. Others, like our Jehovah's Witness friends, say that you cease to exist for a certain period of time and then God recreates you. The other view is not that you cease to exist, but that you continue to exist. But there are some variety of views even within that particular view. Some say you continue to exist and you come back to this life over and over again. Like Buddhism, you're reincarnated and you come back in another life form. Some say you do not come back, but you go straight to your reward, to heaven or hell. The biblical view is that when you die, you do not come back to life, but you await your reward in a place that we're going to learn is called Hades, and there you will await until the judgment day comes. So let's see what the Bible says about where we go after we die. What we're going to find is that a person is in one of three states: the present state of the living, or when we die, we are in the unseen state of Hades. It's a state of consciousness, but we don't see it. And then third, after that, we will go into our eternal state, which is either heaven or hell. And that's what we want to look at this morning. First of all, we all are born into this world and into this life, and we have a present state of living. At birth, we're born innocent. We're born pure. We're made upright. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29. Later, man seeks out sin, but he's born pure and upright. There's no inherited sin from Adam or Eve or anybody else. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, Jesus said the kingdom is like a little child. We're innocent. And when we live in this present state, as we grow up, we get to the point where we choose to sin. Sin is a choice that is made. We do not inherit that. We're not forced to do that. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 20, the soul that sins, it shall die. We are responsible for the choice that we make. And the wages of sin is spiritual death, separation from God, Romans 3:23. Romans 6:23. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, we're separated from God. We're born innocent, but later in life we choose to sin. After we make that choice to sin, we're given another choice. We're given a choice to be saved through the blood of Jesus Christ. we can believe the gospel and be baptized in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. Jesus said concerning the gospel that would be preached into all creation, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. That's a choice. And we call upon our listeners this morning to, having made that choice to sin, make another choice to be saved, to wash those sins away in baptism. So in our present state, we are making choices, aren't we? Making choices. If we will make that choice to believe and be baptized, then we find ourselves saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. We're baptized into Christ, Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27. We come out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His Son, Colossians 1 and verse 13. We still live in the world, but we are not of the world. We're living the Christian life. Now, if we choose not to believe and be saved and be baptized into Christ, we can choose to disbelieve and be lost. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not, there's your choice not to believe, shall be condemned. And so we can choose to disbelieve. We don't believe the Bible. We don't believe Jesus Christ. We don't believe what he said we need to do. And so we remain in that lost, sinful state. And in that state of being lost, we are a sinner in this world. And Paul describes it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 as, the God of this world has blinded the hearts of the unbelieving. And so we're just simply doing what the devil wants. We're blinded to the truth. We don't want to obey the truth. And we're given that choice and we choose to disobey. Friend, what choices are you making today? As we live in this present state, what choices are you making? If we choose to be saved and to be baptized into Christ, there's another choice that we can make. And that is, we can choose to fall away as a Christian. Some people say that once you're saved, you're always saved. But we can, as a Christian, we can be in the state of apostasy or falling away. We can fall away from Christ. Galatians 5 and verse 4. Some can get to the point where it is impossible to renew them again unto repentance. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 4. They can get so far away and hardened, they will not come back. Some who choose to believe and be baptized and become a Christian and serve Christ faithfully for a time, they make another choice to fall away. They let the world get to them. They let sin and temptation get to them. And once faithful Christians have now fallen into a state of apostasy. But there is hope. We don't have to stay in that situation. A lost saint can be restored. Like Simon the sorcerer, who had sin in his life after being baptized in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, Peter told him to repent and pray. We can confess our sins and pray for forgiveness, 1 John 1, 7 through 9, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us once again. So we don't have to remain in that lost state of apostasy. We can be restored. James talks about in James chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, that someone can convert an erring brother from the error of his way. He can come back and save a soul from death. And so, what choices are you and I making? We live in a present state of choices. We're born innocent. We're all born in that same situation. But we then begin to make choices thereafter. Will you choose to sin? If you grow up and choose to sin, then you can choose to be saved. You can choose to be baptized, or you can choose to just continue to be lost and just live in a sinful world. Or you can choose to become a Christian and be baptized into Christ. And after you do that, if you choose to fall away, you can choose to be restored again. There may be some listening to me this morning that were once members of a Church of Christ, once faithful Christians, and now you don't attend anywhere. You are not reading your Bible and praying. And I was just told recently of someone who was, quote, raised in the Church of Christ, but they're no longer going there. You've made a choice to fall away. Why not make a choice to come back to the Lord? Now, let's look at the next step in our life. We're born into this present state that we live in. What about the next step in our journey? And that is death. We all will die if Jesus does not come again in our day. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, then comes the judgment." Birth is the first step. Death is the second step that we will take. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, we're going to die. The body will return to the dust from whence it came, and our spirit will return to God. We will face Him in judgment. James says in James chapter 2 and verse 26 that the body apart from the spirit is dead. Just drive around and look at the cemeteries in Clarksville and in Montgomery County and the surrounding areas, and there's a grave and serious reminder of death. As I'm speaking right now, someone is dying. And one day, friend, that'll be for you and for me. It is appointed unto man once to die. And that will be the step into our next state. But the question is, how will you die and how will I die? You know, not everybody dies in the same relationship to God. Some die in innocency. There are babies who die all the time. In Matthew chapter 2, Herod wanted to kill the baby boys, and he had them slain. When babies die, they die in innocency. I think about the terrible situation of abortion, not only in this country, but around the world. Many, many thousands of innocent babies are aborted every day around the world. But they die in innocency, and they get to go and to be with God in heaven. There's no sin in their life. There's no taint of any sin or problem or sinful nature. They die in innocency. But there's another way you can die, and that is, you can die having grown up and made that choice to sin. You can die in your sin. In Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 23, God says that He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. You could die as a wicked person. You could die as a sinful person, and you don't want to do that. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 23, "Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, says the Lord Jehovah, and not rather that he should return from his way and live?" So you can die in your innocency if you're a baby or a small child without any sin. Or you can die in your sin. You can die the death of the wicked. Or, having obeyed the gospel and lived faithfully thereafter, having been baptized into Christ and living for the Lord, you'll die in the Lord. John in Revelation 14 and verse 13 talks about, "Blessed are those who die in the Lord." That is, die in a right relationship with Him. How will you die, friend? How will I die? If you're not saved, if you have not had your sins washed away, or if you have and you're not living faithfully, you're going to die in sin. Why not die in the Lord? Make that choice of how you will die. There are a lot of people who, when facing their death, want to make some choices and decisions on how they're going to die. Are they going to be put on life support systems or not? Do they want to be in a hospital bed, at home, in a nursing home? They make choices about how they want to die physically, but many of them will not make the choices on how they're going to die in their relationship with God. Make those choices ahead of time, just like you would those other things. And choose to die in the Lord. So then we die. And when we die, we don't cease to exist. We go into the second state, and that is the unseen state. It's described in the New Testament as Hades. And it's separated. It has two places: Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort, and a place called torment. And there's a gulf fixed between. We know this from Luke chapter 16, if you'll turn with me there. A rich man dies who was wicked, and Lazarus dies who was righteous, and they go away into a place called Hades. Luke 16:22, and it came to pass that the beggar died, and that he was carried away by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried, and in Hades he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, that they that would pass from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. And so the second state that we go to after we die is an unseen place called Hades. If we die in the Lord, we go to Abraham's bosom, a place of comfort. If we die the death of the wicked, then we go to a place of torment. In this unseen realm, we wait. It's unseen, but it is conscious. Notice in this lesson that Jesus teaches, he's talking about people who are speaking. He's talking about people who are remembering. This is clearly a conscious state, not unconscious like some religions and other groups talk about. It's a place that we wait. And it's a place that we wait in a fixed state. There is a gulf fixed where we cannot cross from one place to the other. We cannot change our eternal destiny from that point onward. Friends, today is the day that we change where we go, heaven or hell, Abraham's bosom or torment, and then later after the judgment, heaven or hell. Today is the day that we make those choices as to where we go. We can't make that choice later. We can't cross over. If we don't like the fires of torment, we can't cross over to Abraham's bosom. And why somebody would cross from Abraham's bosom to a torment of fire, I don't know. But even if you wanted to, you can't. It's a fixed state. We either wait in paradise. Jesus said while he was hanging on the cross to the thief that believed in him, today you will be with me in paradise, Luke 23:43. Jesus went to the paradise portion of Hades, Acts 2:27. And those of you who use the King James Version in Acts chapter 2, thou will not leave my soul in hell. That should be Hades. That's a better translation there. It's misleading. Somebody might think that that is Gehenna, hell fire. Jesus didn't go there. He went to Hades, as the newer translations translate that word. Gehenna, hell, is a different word. So we wait in paradise if we are righteous. We wait with Christ. Paul talks about going to be with Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 8. Philippians 1:23 and other passages. Or we wait reserved unto judgment. One is a place of comfort, Abraham's bosom, paradise. Another is a place of torment and flame. And we're not even to hellfire yet. But it's a place where the ungodly wait reserved unto judgment. Judgment is still coming in the future. In 2 Peter 2, 4, and 9, God can hold the ungodly and reserve them and hold them unto judgment. And where that is a place called torment. And then, there's the third step, and that is the resurrection. The first step is being born into the present state. The second step is death, which puts us into the unseen Hadean state. And then the third step is the resurrection, in which all that are in the tombs will be raised. And from there we go to judgment and there to our eternal state of heaven or hell. Jesus talks about a bodily resurrection where all that are in the tombs will be raised. All will hear his voice, John 5, 28 and 29. 1 Corinthians 15, much of it talks about the resurrection. Raised to eternal life or raised to eternal judgment. And depending upon how you live now, friends, that will determine how you are raised in that last day. So now let's talk about the resurrection, that step that puts us into that last eternal state. The wicked will have a body and a soul that can be punished in hell, Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. The righteous will be raised. Paul says that when Christ comes again, what about those who haven't died? Living Christians will be changed. Their bodies will be changed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. But when the resurrection comes, all who are living and all who have died, who are raised, all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus talks about all nations being gathered before him in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 and following. God commands all men everywhere that they should repent because there is a judgment day coming, Acts 17, 31. Will you repent, which means change? Will you do that, friend? Or will we just keep living our sinful lives, enjoying the things that we're doing, and give no heed to the gospel, give no heed to that coming day. Just plow forward without any concern for what lies ahead. Or, let me encourage you to make that change. So, in the resurrection, when all are raised, that puts us before the judgment seat of Christ. At this time, earth, death, and even Hades that we just talked about, they're all gone. In Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15, in Revelation 21, 1 and following, the present state that we are now a part of, it's gone. The earth and the works therein are burned up, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and following. The present state's all gone. Even the unseen realm of Hades is gone. Death and Hades are gone, passed away. And then what is left is the eternal state. Read with me Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 and following. Revelation 20, 11 and following. And I saw a great white throne, and him, God, that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. The present state that we're experiencing now, it's gone. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, God's word, the Bible, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. So even the unseen realm is gone. All that is left is the eternal state. The present state is gone. The unseen state is gone. The only thing left is the eternal state. If any was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. In chapter 21, verse 8, there are those in the lake of fire, and then there are those who are in heaven around the throne. And so either heaven or hell, we are sentenced. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 46, some shall go away into eternal life, others will go away into eternal punishment. Heaven or hell? What will it be for you, friend? In hell, we will suffer great torment. Revelation chapter 21 in verse 8. When you think of those who are in hell, many people think of just the most gross, immoral types of persons, and they will certainly be there. But look at the list in Revelation 21 in verse 8. But for the fearful, some versions say coward, and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and fornicators and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part shall be in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Just people who feared to obey. Those who were unbelieving, they wouldn't believe and obey. They're going to be in hellfire too. There are going to be a lot of good people who will be lost. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 21, 22, and 23, he's going to say, depart from me, ye who work iniquity or lawlessness. And they were religious people. People who said, Lord, did we not cast out demons by thy name and do many mighty works by thy name? Jesus said, I never knew you. So even religious people can be lost. And once the sentence is there, then there's the suffering in heaven, or, to end on a positive note, the suffering in hell, and then the serving in heaven, serving God around his throne. And so in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 5, to end on a positive note this morning, there shall be no light, no night there, no need of lamp. And then it says they shall reign forever and ever with God on the throne. Friends, this morning, where are the dead? Where are the living? Where are the two eternal states? The Bible answers all of those. Will you not obey the Lord today? Let us help you. Come visit us. Let's set up a Bible study together. Please contact me. We're glad that you've joined us, and we hope that you'll tune in next week. Thank you very much.